Well, happy Christmas Eve to everyone. What an exciting day. I hope your preparations are going well. I want to declare and speak blessings over you and your household and all that's going to happen in these next couple of weeks. Peace to your family. Have a brilliant, brilliant time. I've got a message for you today that I have called, It's Not What I Thought. It's Not What I Thought. Have you ever really looked forward to something only to find it's totally different to what you expected? One of those things, important moments in many people's lives, having a baby. You know, in church life, we've had lots of babies. We celebrate life. It's so, so good. I am the very proud father of two brilliant children. I've been at the baby stage twice. And you look forward to having the baby, and you in your mind are thinking of the cuddles and the goo goo gaga and the showing baby off and putting nice outfits on. Reality is sleepless nights, 2 hours a night, up every half an hour. You've just laid your head down. You're like, oh, baby's awake again. The reality is stinky nappies. Anyone who's had a baby, what about when baby goes onto solid food and the fumes just kick off? It's a whole nother level. So on the one hand, you're thinking, oh, baby. Reality is, it's a whole bunch of sleeplessness, hard work, stink, everything. However, 100% totally worth it. We're so proud of our children because you get those moments when baby starts to talk and the first time he says, I love you, daddy, or I love you, mummy, or I love you, grandparents, whatever that might be. You can't buy those moments. It is brilliant, but not always what you think. What about, have you ever in your mind thought what it'd be like to meet someone you value, a celebrity or someone who works in the field you work in or a sports star or something like that? And when you actually meet them, they're quite arrogant. They're quite dismissive. They're quite up themselves. And you're like, oh, that's not what I thought. Can you see the picture I'm trying to paint? So often we think of things, but when you get there, it's not what you thought. Have you ever challenged yourself to do something like an adrenaline thing, like jumping out of an aeroplane or a bungee jump or maybe jumping off a high board at a swimming pool, and you get up there and in your mind you build it up to be something, but when you actually do it, you're like, wow, that was amazing. It's not what I thought. And so there's this whole process that I think we can apply to this time of year. I think we can apply to faith. I think we can apply to God, where sometimes it's not what you thought. God has great history doing things very differently to what people thought. Consider the whole story with David and Goliath. Everyone sees the situation. Both armies, the Philistines and the Israelites, are lined up. Out comes this huge 9-10 foot giant of a man, an experienced warrior, undefeated, declaring, send out your best. Now, what would you do? I would think, send out your biggest, bravest, most experienced warrior to give him a chance. That's what I'm thinking. I'm assuming that's probably what you're thinking. It's not what God was thinking. God sends out this little teenage boy. God raises up David and sends him out. No experience of war whatsoever. What a joke. Goliath doesn't even take him seriously. Let's read the passage. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 42 to 45, it says this. Goliath looked at David over and over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. What a great piece of history, because we know how the story plays out. It wasn't the best course of action. Surely all of us wouldn't have done that, wouldn't have even thought of doing that. However, David wins. God has history of doing exactly what we don't think and it playing out better than we could ever have imagined. Consider the story of Moses. We have the Israelite people who are in captivity for many hundreds of years in Egypt. They're oppressed, they're overworked, they're being dominated, it is difficult. They are crying out to God, save us, get it out of this situation. So what does God do? He goes to Moses and he says to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. He's giving Moses a speaking engagement. But what do we know about Moses? We know that Moses had a stammer, a stutter, or some kind of speech impediment. So God gives the guy with a speech impediment a speaking engagement. Let's read it. Exodus 4, verse 10. Moses says to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. God sends the guy who none of us would have thought of to a speaking engagement. My point being, God does things differently. God sees it differently. God thinks differently. Sometimes it's not just what you think. There's a time in Israel's history where there was a terrible famine. They hadn't had rain for many, many years, and they were struggling. Because of lack of rain, they couldn't grow crops. Because there was no water, they couldn't wash properly. Because there was no water, they couldn't heat it up and boil it and sanitize things. They were struggling. It was difficult. They needed rain. And God raises up the prophet Elijah. And he says to Elijah, tell the people to prepare because heavy rain is coming. The place would have been ecstatic. Heavy rain. Everything's going to change. But this is what happens. Elijah sends his servant seven times up Mount Carmel to look for the evidence of heavy rain. And we pick the story up in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 44. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, he was the king, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. So Elijah is seeing something that everyone else isn't seeing. Elijah is thinking something that everyone else isn't thinking. They're all believing for heavy rain, life-changing rain. But the servant sees a mini little cloud. The servant sees a cloud the size of a hand, tiny. Now, when I see a mini little cloud, I'm thinking, at best, light drizzle. At best, spitty, spotty rain. At best, I'm sure you're thinking something like that too. But the prophet, the man who was gifted to see beyond the natural, the man who was gifted to see into the spiritual, the man who was gifted to see something that God saw, thought something different. He saw the small mini cloud and he said, we've got to prepare, we've got to go, run because the rain is coming and don't let it stop you. And he was right. So here's this idea that God's got this history of thinking differently to me and thinking differently to you. This same concept applies to Jesus. You know, tomorrow we celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's going to be a brilliant day for you and your household celebrating Jesus. And what was the declaration? A new king is coming. Heaven is invading earth. All heaven rejoiced. What actually happened? Well, what actually happened is a baby is born in an animal house. Well, that's not what I would have been thinking. I'm sure it's not what you would have been thinking. I'm sure it's not what everyone else was thinking, but it was what God was thinking. The king at the time was King Herod, and he heard a new king is being born. People were coming from far off places to come and honor and celebrate the birth of a new king. So what does Herod think? Of course he thinks, someone is after my throne. He freaks out. In fact, he freaks out so much, he orders the killing, the murder of every two-year-old and under baby boy in that time. Horrendous. Why? Because he was thinking something that was wrong. Jesus was never after his throne. Herod was thinking wrong. Later in Jesus' life, his destiny was to go to Jerusalem. And all of Jerusalem was freaking out because they were under the rule of the Romans. And again, they were oppressed. And they had been crying out for freedom from this oppression from the Roman rule. And they hear that King Jesus is coming. And so they're in their mind, in their thinking, They're thinking this guy is going to come and overthrow the Roman rule by force. We're going to kick them out and we're going to take back so we can live under our own rules. They were saying, Hosanna, which means save us. Expecting in their mind this warrior on a horse. What actually happens? Jesus trots by on a donkey. Well, I'm pretty sure that's not what they were thinking. But here's the reality. Jesus didn't come to overthrow men. Jesus didn't come to take earthly kings' positions. He came to bring heaven to earth. He came to show us what his Father looks like. He came to reunite us with his Father. He came to set us free from the things that are hurting us and holding us back in life. His agenda was far bigger than what anyone else was thinking. For him, eternity was at stake. For him, your well-being is at stake. For you, health and hope was at stake. He came to destroy the works of the evil one, which quite frankly have been messing with us for far too long. It was bigger than what anyone was thinking. Jesus had a different agenda. Do you know what? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And again, when we have an image of that, it's not what we're thinking. You see, peace isn't the absence of hassle. Peace isn't the absence of storms. Peace is walking through the storms hand in hand with the Prince of Peace. Peace is having peace in your heart as you go through the storm. It's not about the absence of stuff going on around you. It's about what's going on the inside of you as you go through it. Peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. And when you invite him into your world, you can go through any storm which might freak lots of people out, but you can think differently and react differently because of what's going on the inside of you and who you are walking with. His name is Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. And what I find a personal privilege in all of this is that people like me and people like you have the privilege and honor of continuing the mission that Jesus started. And that's to bring hope to those who lack hope. That's to introduce people to Almighty God. That's to bring heaven to earth. That's seeing people free from the things that are hurting them and holding them back. And do you know what? Jesus chooses to partner with people like me and you. And sometimes I think it, and I'm sure you're thinking it too. You say, who, me? Little old me? I'm nothing special. What can I do? But again, it's not what you think. Have a look at Paul's message to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says this. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. That is amazing. God does incredible things and allows life to spring up, but not as everyone thinks. He doesn't necessarily use the grand, the influential, the powerful people. He uses ordinary people like me and you who have just got a yes in our spirit, who have just got a yes in our heart, who are just saying, I'm willing and I'm open. I'll give to you what I've got. But I hope you can think about yourself differently. I love Psalm 139 where it says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were created in the womb and God had his hand on you in that moment. And what that says to me is, you're brilliant. I'm brilliant. God's put things on the inside of me, skills and dreams and hopes and talents. God's put things on the inside of you, skills and dreams and hopes and talents that will enable you to fulfill the dreams on your life. But it will also help you to help someone else fulfill the dreams in their life because we're called to relationship. So anyone who's got a yes in their heart and makes themselves available to God can be used to complete Jesus' mission. That's amazing. It's not always what we think. Don't say you're not good enough. You haven't got a part to play. Don't think of yourself less because think of yourself how God sees you. And he thinks you're amazing. Jesus came to lift you up. And he says, you're brilliant. He says, you're useful. He says, you're worthy. He says, you're loved. He says, you're talented. He says, you're accepted. Think how Jesus thinks. not how everyone else thinks. And don't allow your thinking to be clouded by the opinions of the people around you. Allow your thoughts to be consumed by the word of God spoken over you and the heart of the Father in you. Come on, you are better than you really think sometimes. It gets better because Jesus has great things for you. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the good things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's incredible. God has such good things for me, and God has such good things for you. They are so good, we can't even imagine them. That right there is kind of freaky. God's thought process is so much bigger and higher and better than mine that I can't even imagine how good it is. But what that does do in me is that sits in my spirit and gives me a hope for a better future, an even better future than I can think of. But my Father has done so many great things in and through and around my life that I trust him, that my future is going to be incredible. So therefore, there's a yes in my heart to the things of Jesus, to the things of God. And I get past sometimes how I see myself and challenge myself to see myself and think about myself in the way that he sees me and the way he thinks about me. I hope you might be able to do that too. So as we think about a baby in a manger, as we think about the birth of Jesus, which we celebrate tomorrow, could you change your thought process? He's not just a baby. He's the Prince of Peace, come from heaven to earth to reach out to you. I don't know where you stand in faith. Maybe you've tuned into this message and you're having a checking it out. I want to encourage you. God thinks you're amazing. And he demonstrated that thought process by sending his son to reach out to you, which we're celebrating tomorrow. He came not to condemn you or push you down, but to fight on your behalf the things that hurt you and hold you back. So much going on around us right now, depression and lack and suffering and sickness and all these kind of things. And Jesus says, I came and defeated those on your behalf. And if you'd allow me in, I'll set you free from the chains that are holding you. He came to set you free. Jesus came for something bigger than people thought. And it was to put us at right standing with the Father. I have right standing with Almighty God, not because I'm good, but because Jesus is good. And I've accepted him into my life. And that makes me righteous. Righteous not because of me, righteous because of him. And so I can stand before my God with confidence because I have right standing with him. And then it goes in that says, will you partner with me? Barry, would you partner with me? You know, say your name. Would you partner with me and play your part in a bigger picture? Because it's not what you think. There's good things on the inside of you that are valuable for eternity. We could play our part. Shift your thought process. And then it gets even better. Because Jesus wants you to thrive in life. And he's creating a future for you that is so good, so crazy out there good that we can't even think of it. But he's thinking of it. And you know what? That life begins, that life journey into something better you can imagine begins when you acknowledge Jesus for who he really is, the Son of God, who's come from heaven to earth, humbled himself to be a baby in a manger in an animal shed, and lived a life of perfection, setting people free wherever he went, healing the sick, providing for people, giving great teaching, pressing against the religious attitudes of the time, and allowing people to express themselves and put them in right relationship with his Father. And it puts hope in our hearts. And it's so, so exciting. Would you engage with him? You know, it's not a case of I think about Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and I keep Jesus on the fringes of my life. Is this the day, is this the Christmas where you say, Jesus, I want you in the middle of my life? Because when he's in the middle of your life, he's able to do what you're not even thinking. He's able to do what no one else is thinking, because his thought process is so way out there, it is mind-bogglingly good. And my hope, is that you'll be someone this Christmas who says, Jesus, I want you in the middle of this because I want to have the life that you planned out for me. I want my life to be better than I can even imagine, and I trust you with it. So have the best Christmas, guys. Celebrate with the people you love tomorrow. But my hope and my challenge to you is take a moment this Christmas to get Jesus in the middle, because I promise you, it will be different to what you're thinking. In fact, it'll be better. Would you allow me to pray for you? Father, I want to thank you for every amazing person who's tuned in to listen to this message. Lord, I want to declare blessings over them. I ask that you'd give them the most amazing Christmas experience, that their family, their friends, their loved ones would get around each other and they'd celebrate well. But my greatest prayer for everyone tuning in, Father, is that they would know you, that they would know your heart as you expressed it in your Son, Jesus, and that we would be people who say, Jesus, you are welcome into the middle of my life. I trust you with it. Stir up the gift in me so that I can have a great life myself, but help someone else to have a great life too. I invite you into the middle of my world, Jesus, and I want to experience the things that you're thinking over me, not just what I'm thinking. Maybe, just maybe, my life could be not what I'm thinking, but even better. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great time celebrating, and I look forward to seeing you sometime soon.